Welcome to Women of Hope. I'm Carol.
I'm Tammy. And I hope all is well with you and your loved ones. How have you been, Carol?
Tammy, I've been great. How about you?
Very well, thanks.
Oh, would you like to hear a funny story that I just heard?
I am always ready for a funny story.
You'll love this one. I heard about a man who wanted to surprise his wife by painting their bedroom a nice color that she would like. So he went to the shop and he picked out the color that he thought she would like. And then he went home and he painted their bedroom. When the wife came home, he showed her his work. And she laughed and laughed. The husband asked her, "Well, what's wrong?" And she said, "What color do you think this is?" And he looked at her and said, "Peach?" "Nope," she said, "it's bright orange." He forgot that he was colorblind. And so the two of them had to go back to the store and buy new paint together.
That is hilarious. I cannot imagine having an orange bedroom.
It was funny for me as well. But it started me thinking about houses and homes and the way our houses look and feel and how important that is to us.
And the way our house is built is important to us too. But what we build it with and how it looks depends a lot on where we live and what materials are available, of course.
You know, all through the ages, we've chosen to live in some kind of a shelter, whether that's a cave or a house made of wood, stone, or brick, with a roof of tin or hay or even tiles. People like to live in houses. And if we don't have one, we either look around to see if we can build one or move in with someone who already lives in one.
That's true. I guess houses protect us from rain, sun, and strong winds, sometimes even from enemies. People often lock doors to stay safe at night and keep their things from being stolen if they're away.
And fences do that too. We like to build them as well, don't we?
But that's not quite the same, is it?
I don't know. In some ways, I think it is. People put their animals inside fenced yards sometimes so that they can't wander away and to keep them safe from other animals, maybe even from thieves.
Yes, but fences are quite a bit different, aren't they? They not only provide protection, but they mark out the edge of your property.
I see what you mean. By putting a fence around a field, we say, "That's my field." It tells me what belongs to me and what belongs to my neighbor.
Right. If we plant a crop inside our fence border, it shows that the crop is ours because we worked that field. And the crop in the next field belongs to another person. But there is a difference, though, between us and the things we own.
I agree. But what do you mean by difference?
Well, for our animals and our crops, safety and shelter are important, but we human beings need much more than that. We don't just need a house. We need the place we live in to be a home.
Ah, you're absolutely right, Tammy. A house is not necessarily a home, is it? You can live in a place that feels temporary or uncomfortable, almost like it belongs to someone else, because it won't have that feeling of home.
And although shelter or usefulness are important, a home is much more important than that, isn't it?
Well, I think that's what we need to talk about. What makes the difference between a house and a home?
I think the most important thing is to feel we belong there and that we're loved.
You're listening to Women of Hope, and Tammy just said that to make a house a home, it's important for us to feel that we belong there and that we are loved. I know what you mean, Tammy. Whenever we're back in the neighborhood where we had our first home, we always like to drive by the house. Even though it's been sold and someone else lives there, it will always feel like it's our home because we had our children there and we have fond memories of the people and the things that happened there.
So if you move into a place that seems to you to be just a house, how do you make it a home?
Oh, so many things to think about. Let's see. First, I think it should be welcoming and make your family and your guests feel comfortable and at ease.
But not welcoming for people who might be a threat to you and your family.
Oh, of course not. We want everyone who lives there to feel safe.
And to make a home, you would put special things in special places if they're important to you, like photographs or your little treasures. You would display things that you like and that make it beautiful to look at in some way.
Yeah, I have a friend who makes gorgeous quilts, and she has them all over her furniture so that they can be used and admired.
And I have a friend who loves gardening, so she has indoor pots with plants in them and always has fresh flowers in her home.
Our own style of beauty makes our house our home. So what do you do to make your house a home?
You know, we should also be able to have privacy when we need it, for sleeping or study, or just be able to be quiet and think. It's very important to many people and hard to find if the house is small.
But we also need to have times when we do things together in our home, like eating together or praying together or working together. It's good to share special celebrations or play games. These are the things that our children will look back on and remember as a fun part of their home, where they felt really loved.
As the mother or the main caregiver in the home, we want to help create harmony, where people who know one another well are able to celebrate each other's differences and contribute to each other's well-being. Every time my family gets together, we know so many little things about each other. We each have our favorite things, and no one else would sit in my husband's chair. Everyone knows I prefer a dessert spoon to eat soup with, and my husband prefers a soup spoon. So the person who sets the table for dinner knows what to put there for each of us. There are certain types of music we won't play in the house if another member of the family finds that type of music annoying, and so on. We respect each other's differences.
That's important. Harmony. It doesn't feel like a home when people are fighting or arguing, does it? That's why learning to forgive each other is so important. It gives us a chance to start over. If we have upset someone, we can fix the situation easily if we apologize. Of course, apologizing does not mean making an excuse for what we've done. It's not making yourself feel better for having done wrong. It's about soothing the feelings of the one who's been hurt. And this makes the way clear for the happy relationship to be restored. And if someone has hurt you, it's also important to forgive the person who hurt you, whether they are sorry or not. If we don't forgive them, we'll just go on feeling badly towards them and we'll miss out on the opportunity to continue a warm relationship with them. The other person may not even be aware that they've hurt us, so it's not necessary to wait for an apology that may never come.
You're absolutely right. That's something we constantly have to do so that we can keep the harmony in our home.
Yes, it's harmony that really makes a house into a home. Tammy, earlier you mentioned eating together. Our cultural food is very special to us, isn't it? The things that your mother cooked when you grew up, they definitely help us to feel at home.
Yes, and as women, our decorating, cleaning, and cooking certainly makes a big difference to how people feel, whether they live with us or they're just visiting.
Oh, we all love a clean house, don't we? Even if it's hard work and sometimes hard to keep that way.
Oh, yes. Do you like going to sacred or holy places? Tell me, where do you think God lives? In a land above the clouds? In a temple or a shrine? In a statue or an image? In a river or tree, a rock, or the sea? Do you think God lives in certain holy people? Roz is here with us again to answer the question, where does God live? Welcome, Roz.
Thanks, Tammy. It's really good to be here again with you. This is an important question, and people answer it in different ways. We're going to see what the Bible tells us. We've been hearing stories from the history of the Israelite people, haven't we? God, the creator of the world, had made a special agreement with them. He had rescued them from being slaves, and do you remember? He was leading them across the desert to a country he'd promised to give them. He'd chosen to show them what he's like so they could show the world. Well, here is another true story from this time, which is written in God's Word, the Bible. So, there the Israelites were, thousands of people travelling slowly through the desert. God gave them rules to live by, remember, through Moses, their leader. God also gave Moses some detailed plans for a very special, very large tent, like a temple, that could be folded up and moved. It was called the Tent of the Lord's Presence. It was very beautiful, made of finely woven cloth and goat skins, dyed in wonderful colours and embroidered in gold and precious stones. In the centre of this tent, they were to keep some special items from their history. One of the most important was a copy of their law, the Ten Commandments written on stone slabs. God had given Moses these rules to live by as part of his agreement or covenant with them. They were kept in a covenant box with a gold lid. And there were bronze wash basins and gold candlesticks and places to bring their offerings. Even the tent poles had silver settings. It was a huge job to build it, but the people willingly gave their gold and jewels to make it beautiful. They gave perfumes and spices, cloth, leather and oil, everything that was needed. There were craftsmen, carpenters, goldsmiths, and women who wove material and dyed it, others who sewed and embroidered with great skill. It was a great honour to be chosen to work on the tent. Finally, it was completed, built exactly as God had explained it to Moses. All the details had some meaning. And on the day when it was all finished and set up, the tent was filled with a dazzling light to show the people that this was a special place for the worship of God. That's the end of this part of the story from God's Word.
Wow, that must have been amazing. Their own tents were pretty ordinary, but as they followed God's pattern, they made this incredibly beautiful place for worshiping Him.
And then God showed He was truly among them by filling it with light, representing His presence. That must have really encouraged them.
But you know, there was one thing that seemed to be missing. This movable temple had no idol, no statue, no painting, nothing to represent God. It was the only temple in the world of that time that had nothing in it to worship. Why do you think that was?
Well, I remember when God gave the Ten Commandments, one of them was that they were not to make an idol or an image, even to represent God.
That's right, because God can't really be pictured in any form that we can see or touch. God is much greater than anything we could imagine.
That's true. And later in God's Word, we read these words. The Most High God does not live in houses built by men. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne, says the Lord, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house would you build for me? Didn't I make all these things?
I'm sure he didn't mean that God has feet big enough to rest on our planet Earth.
No, I think he was saying that they shouldn't think God could be pinned down to any one spot. He can't be kept in one place. There is nowhere in the whole universe where God is not present. He is everywhere, and He is greater than we can possibly imagine.
This is Women of Hope, and we're talking about the question, where does God live?
I'd like to read you one of the Psalms or poems written about 3,000 years ago by one of the Israelite kings. It goes like this. God, where could I go to escape from you? Where could I get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you would be there. If I flew away beyond the east, or lived in the farthest place in the west, you would be there to lead me. You would be there to help me. I could ask the darkness to hide me, or the light around me to turn into night. But even darkness is not dark for you, and the night is as bright as the day.
So we can't say that God lives only in a particular holy place or a particular country.
I like that. It is so good. It means that we can worship Him anywhere, at any time. We don't have to make a pilgrimage or be in a church or a temple. We can pray to Him any time, and He hears us. As that psalm said, He is wherever we are in order to guide and help us, because He loves us so much.
We can't say where He lives, but you know, we can say who He lives with.
That's an interesting thought. Who does He live with? What do you think?
Well, let me tell you what God's Word says. The Lord says, I am the high and holy God who lives forever. I live in a high and holy place, but I also live with people who are humble and repentant, so that I can restore their confidence and hope. What do you think is that high and holy place? Yes, it is the whole universe. But it's more than that. It's really saying how completely different God's life is, high and holy compared with our small and sinful lives. Yet this amazing God says He will live with you if you are humble and really sorry for the wrong things you do and turn to Him for forgiveness.
I still find that so amazing, that God, who created everything that exists, wants to live with me.
Yes, and He says He wants to build up your confidence. Not confidence in yourself, but in God. If He's living with you and in you, you can face the world with confidence, can't you?
You know, my life was really changed when I started to follow Jesus Christ, God's Son. He has given me real hope for the future. He promised that He would never leave me or abandon me. That does give me great comfort and confidence. So why should I be afraid when God is with me?
So in a way, God does have a temple to live in. The people who love and follow Him, who have put their faith in Jesus. One of Jesus' followers wrote this, "For we are the temple of the living God. As God Himself has said, I will make my home with my people and live among them." So God is everywhere, but He is especially at home in people who trust and obey Him. Do you want Him to be always with you?
Roz, thank you for telling us about the beautiful tent of the Lord's presence. Yes, it must have been a wonderful place, but it's even more wonderful that He wants to live with us, to give us a future and hope. Just before we finish today, Fran would like to share a story with us about a friend of hers and how she made her house into a home.
I have a friend. She used to live in a drafty shed with her two little children after her drunken husband had left them. She felt hopeless, and it was all she could do to feed her family. The shed was dirty and leaked, and they slept on the floor. There was no joy in that shed, believe me. But she heard people talk about Jesus, and she was interested. A friend who cared for her? She believed in Jesus and asked Him to be her Saviour and her Master. Well, she felt that her life had some purpose now, and she started to clean up the shed. She found boards and nailed them over the holes. When she found flowers on the roadside, she would pick them and put them in a jar. She started to wash and hang up their clothes and keep herself and the children clean. She put the pictures from an old calendar on the bare wooden walls. Then she started to go to a prayer meeting, and some of her new friends helped her with some old blankets and curtains. And she began to play with her boys and sing to them her new songs about Jesus. They still lived in a shed, but it had become a happy home. She was a new woman, and after some time her boss saw what a strong, smart woman she really was, and he gave her a better job. Now she has managed to send her boys to school. They have a small, clean, bright house to live in. Every day she thanks God for her house that is truly a home.
Thank you, Fran. We have to go now, but we do look forward to next time. We would love to hear from you. You can write to us in care of this station or at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. That's twrwomenofhope@twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week filled with God's blessings.